It's now time for America's favorite radio program, the David Williams Radio Affliction. Now here's your host and modulator of the David Williams Radio Affliction, Peter Clay.
And hello everyone, and welcome to the Radio Affliction. Back once again, it's been a long time, but we're here and we have a guest. I'm pleased as punch to have a good friend of mine, a guy who's been wanting to be on the show for 5 years maybe.
I never got the call back. I never did. I auditioned a few times, never got the call back until just recently.
Yeah. So, yeah. We always rehearsed different materials and different things. But it's wonderful to have Mr. Luke Dennis on the program.
Thank you, Peter.
Maybe just give a little background to yourself, since the whole World Wide Web probably has no idea who the heck you are.
Okay.
Other than you know me, that's important.
Well, we all know Peter. I love Peter. He's worked with me through a different job for quite a few years now, and we became good friends outside of that. Both of us have had a hankering to do radio and things like that. Pete obviously has gotten around the block more than I have. But just seeing what he's been able to accomplish in his past really kind of enlightened me on the idea that I wanted to start running a mic with him as well. So not only was it a good friendship that Peter and I had, but we also had similar ideas and thoughts what we wanted to do.
Yeah. And it's never like we had interesting discussions ever at all.
No.
Or disagreements at all ever. We always agreed 100%.
I still don't know if I agree with one thing you've said yet, Pete. I'm trying to find one, but I'm having a hard time. No, I've been around the block a few times. I grew up here in the local area. Does anybody know where we're at?
We broadcast out of Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I'm just making sure that I'm okay to say certain things.
Fine. Yeah.
So I've been living here in the Madison area for quite a while. I've been working with Pete in the past over in the electronics sales industry and things like that. Mostly done a lot of business
and things like that.
And now I am actually running a daycare full time, having fun with children, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing currently these days. But it does give me the opportunity to sit here with you fine folks and sit here with my good friend Peter Clay.
And we'll talk about things going on in the world. What's the one thing, if you saw something going on in the world today, what's the one thing that's striking you right now? You need a little more information or what you would talk about?
Yeah, good question, actually. There's something I really don't know a whole lot about, but it sounds pretty rough, I suppose, but it's not really something you always want to bring up. But the earthquakes that are going on, is there something pretty crazy going on in that?
Yeah. It struck me first because kind of doing a cross-promotion here, we're doing another show called Bummin' Cousins with my cousin Jim Reed, going out and bumming for all the secondhand stores. And he's out of California, and so I'd asked him, because there were some earthquakes out there again, a pretty significant one than two then. And everyone comes to me on that because my big claim to fame was I was at the San Francisco earthquake for the World Series. And so now that same... Actually, they officially called the San Francisco earthquake 7.1. And so what then happened was a 7.0 earthquake hit Haiti. And so we're thinking about the destruction in a modern city like San Francisco and the damage that was done there to the Bay Bridge and certain other areas that were on landfill. Think about a country that's not as put together as we are, type of thing, to have that magnitude of earthquake, and looking at the damage on that, that's been a pretty rough.
Yeah, I suppose like all the buildings are 50-year-old and 100-year-old buildings.
And I hate to be unsympathetic type of thing, but I just, my own experience with the San Francisco earthquake was, because that hit commute time, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and so anytime anyone reported, oh, there's thousands dead, there's this and that, so I'm being cautiously when they say, oh, there's tens of thousands of...
As well, you should. Yeah. And nobody should really talk about number of deaths. Yeah. I've never been a big fan of that.
What about 9/11, too? The same thing. Still 3,000 people was a lot, but they were saying tens of thousands at that time.
Right.
And it came down. So those numbers
The problem with that is the media can start an epidemic on some things like that, especially when you talk about the recent things with the swine flus and things like that.
Yeah.
It all sounds a lot worse than it really truly is, so we have to take everything with a grain of salt. But I do know that it was, like you said, it was like a 7 or something like that. I do know it was pretty heavy, and I know that there's some pretty poverty-stricken areas in that country or whatever. So I imagine there's some tough spots right now overall. But that is one thing that's been new that I don't know a whole lot about.
Right.
So, if you got any other information on that, that'd be kind of cool.
Just gave it to you. That's basically what I know right now. There's some different things that you know, I guess Pat Robertson shot off his mouth and stuff like that, and so there's different things. But everything else is just a wait and see. And unfortunately, maybe as people get there and can use the new media, then if people can get there and can be able to communicate, one of the things about the Iran election that just, you know, threw mass media into a tizzy, because, you know, that happened on a weekend and everyone was looking to CNN to say, hey, what's going on? So, you know, something's going on, and they're not reporting it. They're talking about, you know, Entertainment Weekly or something like that, or Larry King, you know, Weekly or something like that. And here this unrest in Iran was going on. Well, everyone went to Twitter because people in Iran were Twittering pictures and videos and things that were going on. So, in, you know, once people can get there, you know, can we get a good idea of things that are going on? We'll have to see.
It's definitely, and your show itself is one of the ideas, I think, on behind this, that it's no longer that you can only get your information through mainstream media, newspaper, TV, and stuff. So there's probably a lot of stuff going on.
Well, that you can actually talk about things, and that's one of the things that that's why I asked you right off the bat, what's going on that you don't know. Now, there's going to be a lot of things that I'm going to talk about. You're going to go, isn't he cute and funny type of thing. But on the other hand, you know, how things can come together. And actually, I got a couple things here to talk about.
Okay, let's roll.
Give me a second here. There's two stories that kind of interesting. And then I go, well, what the heck? There's actually someone took the time to write this.
Okay.
Probably get paid for it even. But yet, there's nothing to really report. Get it? Well, you're going to in just a second. So here's the headline. The
okay.
buzz on amazing new mosquito repellent. Will it fly? Get the pun there? Will it fly? So there's a whole article about how the government, actually, even, is searching for more than 50 years. Scientists have finally discovered a number of new mosquito repellents that beat DEET. I guess that's one of the things that you can use in products to have. But then they say, oh, well, you know, it's, we don't know if it's going to work. Or you know, so it's just like, here's this whole article, and it comes from the government, so, and there's government testing on it. Say, hey, we think we found something, but I don't know if it works. All right, that's story number one. Story number two.
Now, wait. I want to go back to story number one, because there's something that I think about this.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops. What'd you do?
I think I bumped into something. I stood away from the mic.
Okay, no, we're good.
But I'm back now.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't
break
your equipment. Yes. But the thing I was thinking about this, and there's got to be something to this, I think. When it comes to mosquitoes biting people,
yes,
isn't a lot of it based upon what they eat, on whether or not mosquitoes go after them versus other people? Can't they smell things and sense things?
We'll
I heard things
that up
to that.
And one of the big things about mosquitoes, obviously, is that they can be also carrying diseases
sure.
and stuff like that. So, again, once we're vaccinated, we have other issues. But in other countries like Africa or something, that's always malaria being the big.
I want to say that I heard somewhere that if you eat a lot of red meat, mosquitoes will come flocking to you. So maybe before your next show or something.
See, again, but who knows? Because I heard that if you...
Well, I mean, depending on what you eat and what you consume, your sweat can smell differently.
Right.
All these different parts of your body
right.
can be different because of it. So
right.
why wouldn't your blood be a little bit different, or why couldn't a mosquito sense or smell something different?
Could be.
Why do they bite us in the first place?
Right.
Obviously, they know that we're yummy.
We are.
We're definitely
I'm particularly
yummy.
Tasty, but...
I eat a lot of red meat, so they probably love me.
We can do an experiment this summer. You eat a lot of red meat, and then I'll...
You'll go veggie for a month? Yeah, I didn't think so, pal.
Anyway.
You know anybody else? All right, let's move on.
Well, second story is Fizzy Phone, a mobile phone that runs on Coca-Cola. Okay, now, part of it, I just wanted to bring up a wireless story to have you here. That's a whole separate story.
Well,
that's more inside than anything else. But a mobile phone... Oh, actually, the headline is, bulky mobile phone chargers could soon be a thing of the past with handsets running on soft drinks instead. Nokia has come up with a product that runs off of Coca-Cola. Well, I don't know if it's a Coca-Cola plug. If it's just any soda, will do. But anyway, when the battery uses the... Hold on here. I had it. It's a fully... It's taking something off. Why can't I see this here? Oh, here we go. It's using enzymes to catalyze the sugar in it to generate electricity. That's what it's doing. And then so then when it runs out, it expels then just water and oxygen. So great idea. And apparently it works. Nokia has come out. But guess what? Unfortunately, Nokia will not be developing the green phone prototype any further in the near future. So Yahoo or Sky News comes out, reports on this story to say thanks but no thanks. So there's two stories. One's a government research, which upsets me a little bit, to say, hey, here is a guy I'm saying, but we're not going to do anything with it. And here is a prototype of something that runs off the thing and gets a reporter and reports on it, but we're not going to do anything with it.
Well, the person that I have to blame for these reports is you. Because if it wasn't for guys like you printing these off, nobody would be making them.
But isn't it enough to bring up awareness?
No. It's kind of like reality TV, sir. Yeah. If nobody's watching it, it's no longer there. So obviously somebody's reading these kind of reports, and obviously these were the ones that caught your attention.
The only thing that caught my attention, because I think that's a great idea.
The fizzy phone?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's awesome. You know, it's just like, hey, I only need a certain amount of caffeine, so if it only takes 4 ounces... You know, and I've got 8 left in a can that I can consume the rest of. I can have my little fix and then be able to talk on my phone for the rest of the day. Or let's say, 3 hours, because dang it all, that's all they last anyway. Time for another Coke anyway. I'm starting to, get a drag here a little bit. So I fill it up again. And then here, I can water my plants now, too, then with the excess, left over on it.
Hey, but on
what gets me about it, I don't care that they're doing this. But the thing about it is that they're doing it. They're getting it reported, and then you say, we're not going to do it. It reminds me of the old AFL, the Arena Football League. We're running into money problems. We want to save our corporation. We want to save our teams. But here's our idea for doing it. We're not going to play any games. And then we're not going to play any games for a year, and then we're going to come back. You know what? It's just done. Well, there's a good idea for saving the – and that's the same thing here. Here's an idea. We're going to come up with ideas. Yeah, but we're not going to do anything with it.
I'm sure from what I understand of this article, I'm sure it makes no financial sense at all to make a fizzy phone. It can't make any financial sense because the means to be able to do something like that can't be that simple.
Really?
I wouldn't
think
so.
You're Mr. Salesman here. You don't think you could market something like that? What's the one thing in selling a wireless phone? What are the other than how are you going to use it? Give me some examples here. Isn't battery life one of them? Here's one thing that all you have to do. Don't you usually have a soda with you or something like that?
Battery life used to make a difference when selling wireless, when every phone had different battery lives, but they're all the same nowadays, so it doesn't give you a difference between any of them. The point that I'm trying to make, though, is that if this was a financially stable idea, they'd probably still be running it, Pete.
Okay.
But it's not a financially stable idea, I'm sure.
So no environmental concerns, having lithium. Because lithium's not a good thing, really.
In making eggs, you break a few shells. This is probably one of the shells of an idea that somebody had that just financially couldn't pan out.
Okay. So my point then is, then why take the time then to show this off, get it reported on, put it out there to have discussion on an internet podcast?
If this was a newspaper, it would never even make ink. But because you can put as many articles as you want to in the web, welcome. Okay. It's here.
That's an interesting point. It's not bad. You'll get there. One of the things, since we can get into the topic there, but let's just...
So this obviously offends you, though, having material that you can see online that people have made something or invented something and it's not going to be used or done, and what was the point of even reading it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I have a hard time arguing.
No, because I think it's good to bring awareness, especially on the first story, because there's a lot of government stories that, when we... everyone says, okay, hey, we're spending all these tax dollars on wars that don't win and stuff like that. So here's another thing to control costs and so to know where your tax dollars are going is they're doing studies on things that don't exist or aren't going to be used. And so could that money be used other places? It's been brought up, that they spend – and it's not just that. It's the amounts that they spend. I was just showing you earlier about a particular website, the website, radioaffliction.com. Come check us out here.
Free plug.
It's my show. That didn't cost anything.
No, not at all. It was free.
And one of those things. And if so, you know, it costs $20. Why do these government sites that are going to, like recovery.gov, cost $2 million to put up when all you have to do is go to Google and do a blogger and post, we're putting up this new link for, you know.
Because you're inexpensive to hire. You are free to yourself. The government wants people that are higher echelon, so they say they're going to pay for it, but I don't really see the need for that, obviously, yeah. Because doing most of the stuff.
I don't even know how much this study cost. You would just, you know, anyway.
Oh, fair enough. No. I agree. I agree with definitely on this one. The Fizzy Phone mobile runs on Coca-Cola. That is two free plugs right there on an internet system where you can watch.
Yeah, on Coca-Cola.
You can read as many articles as you would like, sir. And you know what? You just gave them each an extra plug.
Yeah. Check the stats on Nokia and Coca-Cola just to see.
I'm waiting for the check to come through. Should that come through in a couple days from those guys?
Well, check my PayPal account.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll have to look into that.
Goes in that. So, okay, once again, folks, you're listening to the Radio Affliction. I am your host, Peter Clay. That is Luke Dennis. He's sitting in with me today, talking about all the things that are going on in the world. You can subscribe to this program through iTunes. You can look up at Radio Affliction and subscribe to the podcast. Plus, this is actually an interactive show. I didn't print out the comments once again. We do get comments on this show, and you can email them.
Are they any good, Peter? I mean, do they just rip you to shreds, or do people actually care to be nice to you?
Most people are pretty good. I'd
so
say
there are some nice people that are watching.
There's really good ones. There's one of the most popular things is because it's part of the ending tag of the show. Then I got a lot of comments about no love for the $2 bill.
Oh, yeah, the $2 bill thing. Yes, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah,
because it's just no one thinks that it's a collector's item, and it's usable. So use your $2 bills, mm-hmm. folks. Use them or lose them. And so I got a lot of comments on that.
I heard it is cash, which is just as good as money these days.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what
so
I did here. I heard a $2 bill is cash.
Yeah. So a couple of really good – I did mention those comments before about Pluto being a planet in Illinois. That was a good one. The state of – talk about government spending, that they took a whole legislative session to anoint Pluto a planet again. And
awesome.
Yeah.
We needed that.
In Illinois. Yeah,
we did.
So,
we needed that.
Those type of things. So some good comments out there. So you can comment if you'd like. You can do email at comments@radioaffliction.com, or you can go to radioaffliction.com and you can see the post where you are listening to the show right now and click on the comments button there as well. Luke is a pretty good sports aficionado. We should just check in real quick. We don't have to make this a whole sports show because we do have other things to talk about. But what in the sports world is striking your fancy right now that we can talk about?
Well, obviously, being a complete homer, I'm really not interested in talking about the NFL right now. I'm having some issues personally right there. There is something that I did have some personal preferences and thoughts and opinions on that I thought was kind of cool. It is the whole Mark McGwire thing.
Okay.
And What I really have come to understand at this point in the situation of it is whoever Mark McGwire has had talking into his ear for the last 10 years is a brilliant SOB. That's all I can figure, because from what he's done initially by not denying and not saying anything and trying to just keep himself out of it, that same group of guys that were all with him are all now shunned in the media, mm-hmm. Have had some government issues that they're dealing with and things like that, legal issues. But he was the one who stemmed away and came about and just admitted it later. And I think that says a lot for character. I do know that, you know, when you and I were watching baseball and growing up in baseball and it came to the steroids thing, neither one of us would ever say that all of baseball is doing steroids during that time frame. There's no way we would. We'd say our favorite guy doesn't do it, his favorite guy doesn't do it, my team doesn't do it. But when my son grows up and gets to be 15, 16 years old and starts caring a little bit more about baseball maybe, the era will be known as everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't really think in the long run that him coming out and admitting things like that is really going to hurt anything, especially seeing how he never lied to Congress and all the rest of the stuff like the rest of the boys on the board did. So in some ways, I think whoever's in charge of his PR or has been making some good decisions over the years for him. That's my opinion behind that one, because he doesn't look as bad as the other guys do.
He kind of does in a sense, because he's been other than Roger Clemens, because he's been going out trying to deny and just looking like an idiot.
Well, Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah.
Let's think about Rafi here.
Yeah.
I mean, he just basically, I mean, my personal opinion is he kicked himself right out of the Hall of Fame immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that there's people out there, the Barry Bonds.
I want to strike on that point just real quick, though, because out of all of those that we're talking about on that, Clemens and Palmeiro would be the only ones, to me, this is just my opinion here, host of this radio show, that qualifies for the Hall of Fame based on their numbers. Because with McGuire, even if I take out the steroids, I look at it, and he's not a Hall of Famer. The numbers just aren't there.
Statistically, you don't think he's a Hall of Famer? No. Even though he's, what, top five home runs in a season ever in baseball?
I will accept that as evidence the day that Edgar Martinez gets in, because he's being shunned for saying he only did one thing really well, the best at it. But they're saying that's not good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay, but that's okay because McGuire did one thing really well over a long period of time. And that was
so he had no good on-base percentage?
No.
You can back that up? What was on-base percentage? Do you have any idea?
No. I look at the career .263 batting average, and I...
Well, but as we all know, watching baseball today, the .263 average doesn't always mean everything because of the on-base percentage, the throughout the walks. And I mean, how many times has Barry Bonds been walked in a year?
Right.
You know, that doesn't hurt or help his on-base or his batting average, does it?
Yeah. But you.
But doesn't it help the game?
Do you look at the complete package in that? Would you say that Barry Bonds was more complete player than Mark McGuire?
Would I say that 110%?
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
You bet. Defensively all around. Yeah. I mean, Barry Bonds in his young age was actually pretty good defensively. Yeah. So I would say that
strong
all the way around.
Dude.
Yeah, strong
fast
arm.
Stolen
He's fast,
bases.
Stolen bases, everything. Yeah, I mean, he was, in my opinion, Barry Bonds was the package before he started getting bigger and just working on the home runs and things
when
like that. But
starts. So that's the and to me, I'll they're talking about strictly 1998 in that era. If I'm looking at it, and I've somehow kind of accepted this as part of the game at some point. The big issue that I have is what you're talking about. I don't know how to tell the young kids, is this okay type of thing. My thing is
But football went through it. Do you remember?
Football went through it. Football's still going through it.
Well, football went through a very, open to the media steroid era when, you know, players were dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was that Raider? What was his name again?
Lyle Lozado.
Lyle Lozado. Thank
Mike
you.
Webster from Wisconsin here. Big guy. Dead.
So I think football, actually, it was brought out to the attention more in football at that point, and now it's coming back to baseball. And the reason why baseball came second is because baseball is the national baby of sports. NFL is turning into that because of what's happened in baseball recently. But
the NFL also is that, you know, they're a bunch of crumb bums. You know they're a monopoly. They won... or they lost, depending how you look at it. They lost, but they won. The court challenge from the USFL, USFL won that the NFL was a monopoly, but when it came to damages, they got $1, you know? So everyone knows that they're this controlling
entity. But how
they
does
just,
it?
They just tend to deal with it. It seems like baseball is like, oh, home runs, isn't it great? You know, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, you know, type of thing. You know, kind of a big love fest type of thing.
But can you really do this? I mean, and I want to ask you this honestly. Can you really take, say, 100 years of baseball and remove 10 years out of the record books?
No.
Can you do that?
No.
Well, then how can you deny somebody Hall of Fame for it?
It's two separate things. Because
But the Hall of Fame, we all know, is not a statistical Hall of Fame. Because other people would have already been in there and other people wouldn't be in there.
Right.
It's not based purely on statistics. It's what you've brought to the game. NFL is based mostly on statistics. They lean more towards statistics and things like that, from my understanding.
You have linemen and you have offensive linemen and stuff like that too. So, it's separate. The Hall of Fame is separate. And I guess what I'm getting to is that what makes baseball great to me is the pitch, the call, the hit, it's the game, and no one's talking about the game. They're always talking about the history and the thing and the steroids and the thing, and realize every time that this is going on, there's a game being played. No one's talking about the game. You know, you get your World Series and someone wins and that's great. Oh, but what about, you know, Joe Blow and all that stuff? So,
but you have to remember, every sport is a business as well, Pete.
Sure.
And in that understanding, there is a business behind
and
the
competitive balance and all that stuff.
But the big thing that I wanted to kind of bring up when I brought up the whole McGuire thing, and we can get away off this topic for a little while, but I just wanted to say that I feel that, you know, in a world full of lies, being able to be a person who did wrong, understood that initially, probably obviously, but to not lie about it and to take that initial hit then should help him in the long run, is what I'm thinking, when he comes out now and lets people know. He's not being tested, and it's not like somebody else said, hey, you're this, you're that.
No, it's one of these things where he was – Whereas, I don't know what comparison I'm right. He's trying to get back into the ballgame. He's going to be the he's not like Pete Rose or anything that who's you know banned and stuff. He has a way to get back into the game, and he knows that if he doesn't talk about this now, it's just going to follow him wherever he goes, type of thing. So he's saying as little as he can, but saying as much as you know. He's telling you what you want to hear, the big thing. But then also there's those little parts that are, well, it didn't really affect me and all that stuff.
And that's why I mean there's somebody good talking in his ear.
Oh, I don't. And I think it's because this is very dangerous, and I don't know why La Russa is opening up this Pandora's box. And this is coming back at him at some point, because if you ask me personally, I was there. I was at the earthquake even and all that stuff. Dave Henderson was a good ball player until he got to the Oakland A's. All of a sudden, they're winning World Series. Kearney Lansford was a good ball player. Dave Stewart was a decent pitcher. You have McGuire, Canseco. Dave Parker ended up there, big boomer on there. He maybe got a year or two more than it. So this goes back more than this goes back to 88, not 98.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying.
You're just saying.
yeah. And you know what? Best time of my life. You know, a young kid just right out of Wisconsin, and I'm working at a radio station in Oakland, California. I'm going on these games. These are nice guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, you know, I got autographs. I got, you know, handshakes and stuff like that. But I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
One other sports-related thing I just want to talk, because we talked about this briefly, and just I – to you, the NFL is dead right now because your favorite team isn't playing anymore in the playoffs.
Correct. But yeah, that is definitely correct.
Still football being played. And my point is, from everything that I've read and have studied and have enjoy football while you can right now, this year, and as much as you can next year, because after that, you just don't know. And there's a whole a whole snowball effect with the Players Association and their union president passing away, and a kind of a, more of a businessman and not a player anymore in that role.
Who is in that role now?
I can't remember his name right now. Another African American gentleman. I can't remember his name.
He has to have been an ex-player, though.
No, he wasn't.
Really?
He's a businessman, yeah.
I thought you couldn't be the president
of
the... Oh,
no, because the first guy... was
because that makes no sense to me.
The first player representative that I can recall before Gene Upshaw for the first NFL player strike. That's why I hated him, and I wouldn't because he's from Wisconsin, and he tried running either for governor. Was Ed Garvey?
Okay,
he was a player representative, and that's 9 weeks of my life that I was missed for a Packers team that actually made the playoffs that could have done better. That they were off to a 2-0 start. And the final game was against the New York Giants on a Monday Night Football in New York, and the Packers win the game, and then no football, and they ended up 5-3-1. Who knows what they could have been that year? So,
yeah, I hear what you're saying, and there is no good answers out there on whether or not we will see this.
There's so many things going on, though. That's just a thing. There's so many things behind the scenes. And the thing about it is no one's reporting on it. Everything's like, oh, Pete Carroll, and, oh, do you think the Ravens can beat the Colts and all this stuff. And granted, you focus on the now a little bit.
It's a little too far away, I think, though.
Most of your – but this is coming up pretty quick now, though.
Not to the average fan, though. The average fan doesn't see those things. An average fan doesn't see a year from now when their team's still playing.
Think about it this way, though. The game is actually really only played, what, 9 hours out of the week? From noon till almost 10 hours a week, till the Sunday night game, and then
Monday night.
The Monday
night game, yeah, sure. Maybe even a weird Thursday Thanksgiving day or something.
Yeah. A week. So the rest then is talking about, all these other things that we have to talk about, because we can't show sports. We have to talk about it all the time, except for maybe on the weekends if we're lucky, and prime time for a couple of hours, that these subjects can come up, because this is really, really important. There's a couple things at play here. One, the owners backed out of the, which they had the option to do, out of the collective bargaining agreement, which would cause then an uncapped year to come up. If anything of this is confusing to anyone else who wanted to come in for knitting and crocheting or anything like that right now, I apologize, but this is a little sports geeky right now. But what this one is, there's no salary cap on what owners can spend on players' salaries. Now, what the salary cap did was, okay, there was a cap on how much they could spend. There was also a cap as to how little they could spend.
Correct.
They had to spend a certain amount.
They had to spend X amount of dollars to stop teams from going 1-15 and saving tons of money.
Correct. So in this uncapped year, you can spend as much as you want or not spend as much as you want. That's area number one. Area number two is there's a whole thing in the Supreme Court going on again about a monopoly of the NFL and antitrust issues. So if it comes out that they get the same antitrust exemption that baseball has, they can literally try and dissolve the players' union. So they can basically throw the players out and have a lockout in 2011 type of thing. And they can say, here's our league, you want in, here are the terms type of thing. And that could work and maybe not. So there's just a whole bunch of different things. Plus, then the third, and I just think this is the whole reason why the NFL is successful, is that there's a set of owners that want to get rid of revenue sharing.
Right.
And that is going to be – so those are the three big issues going on at play. So everything is under contract right now. Plus, you have a TV contract about 2014, I think. So those type of things all in play then too then. So there's a lot of things. So I'm saying enjoy it now while you can because
Well, I mean, even just on that understanding, if there is nothing – set forth and happen by the start of next season. Next season will not look the same as to what everybody else is expecting it to see from just the standpoint of free agency markets and things like that.
One other trick into this. One reason we should be kind of thankful that the Packers lost this last weekend.
Peter, there will be no such thing, but go ahead.
And this
and
is really interesting because one of the people that who has been calling for this has been Jerry Jones, and now he's locked into this now. The final eight teams cannot sign free agents unless they lose one. So in this uncapped year where anyone can spend money and not spend money, the final eight teams have to kind of sit around and kind of play around on some – because what this uncapped year does too, it also extends the player's minimum level for free agency, which is normally 4 years. It now goes to 6 years. So if you thought you were going to lose free agents, well, no, you're still tendered to them. Mm-hmm. So unless you lose them, then you can't sign any more free agents for the final eight teams. Another little thing I'd throw at you there.
Okay. Because right, yeah.
I'm paying attention.
I was wondering if anybody listening to our wonderful program had a bozo button or a cookie for Peter right now, because I think he needs a nice pat on the back.
Hey, I'm just paying attention so you don't have to, I guess. Maybe, I don't know.
All right.
Whatever. Okay. Comments at radioaffliction.com. You can email your questions, comments, concerns. Use your $2 bills. That's a big deal on that. I'm just going to go through a whole bunch of little headlines here now.
Sure.
It's going to be kind of like a quick fire
the barrage
type of thing. So I just have the headlines on them. I don't really have the in-depth stories. So the first thing that just comes to your mind, if you want to chime in on something, you can just come in. And if it just strikes a thought of something else that reminds you of something else, feel free just to kind of join in. Although I am the host of this program, I'm just not the lone participant here. Feel free to participate in anything that you'd like.
Have you felt that I have not been participating?
No, you've been doing really well.
Oh, okay.
Very proud of you.
Because I can really get mouthy.
Yes, you could.
Yeah, but I won't. Yeah. Go ahead.
You can also get in there and throw your cigarette down the floor. I've had enough of this, too. I've seen you do that, too. That's fine. I've gotten him so worked up sometimes he's had to go to the back room and get his face all red and all that stuff. It was hilarious. We are trying an experiment here, too. There is a kind of multiple websites for getting things. I've already mentioned the plug for our podcast, Bummin' Cousins. Please check that out. Jim Reed has been on the Radio Affliction before. He showed you how to make and eat a raw beef sandwich. And so he's the Bummin' Cousins. We do that podcast. Enjoy that. We also have a video website called videoaffliction.blogspot.com. You can see all the different videos, like Good Morning Madison, some funny programs. Then there's the tearful. You need to see that. I didn't show you this. I feel bad about this.
Talking about something that your guest doesn't even know about.
Yeah,
wonderful. Awesome.
Let's continue. I'll have time to show you later. It's just a 3-minute little video called "Don't Leave Me." It'll make you cry, and very heartwarming little quick little video that I did.
And Needy Pete strikes again. Let's move on.
Yes. So check those things out. Anyway, the experiment is we're recording this for video as well, and you can kind of see my head a little bit. It's just an experiment, and you can tell us what you think about that, too, at comments@radioaffliction.com.
If your comment is that Luke's head is a little too shiny, I will agree with you on that, and we'll try to work on that for the next one.
You like our little wireless headphones?
These are nice. Kind of cool. These are good. These are good. I like this.
I don't have to have – I've got enough wires as it is here, so.
It makes me feel like I'm actually doing something real because there's real technology being used. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Well, I like this kind of setup just a little bit better because a lot of things I do on Skype, because a lot of the people that I co-host with are in California, sure, or somewhere else. So using Skype, I can hear them, but I can't hear myself.
Sure.
So that bothers me, and so I end up talking louder than to them. So there's other people in the studio here, and it kind of bothers them a little bit.
Other people in the studio. That was a good way to put that one, Pete. Okay, so what are these wonderful pieces of news you got for us?
Just a couple of things that just struck me a little bit. Reports of airplanes hitting birds and other wildlife could pass 10,000 for the first time.
I saw that, and my jaw dropped. I said, how? Are birds drunk right now or something? What seems to be the problem?
I don't know if there's something... Because the first thing that I always think of is I think of which... I'm talking about the Miracle on the Hudson then. Did they take off from LaGuardia? I think so. Obviously, they flew out of New York. So just right after takeoff, and then they had to come back down, and they couldn't make it back to LaGuardia. They tried Newark, and then they just said, no, we're going to be in the Hudson. I always think about that because that's just like that's right on the water. LaGuardia, if you ever fly into New York, you do have to fly in LaGuardia because it's a little easier than Kennedy is. But the funny, freaky thing, do you like flying or no?
I despise flying, actually, Pete. Thank you for
asking.
Fly
into LaGuardia. It's awesome. Because you swear to God, you're going to land in the water. And just as you think you're about ready to hit the water, then there's the landing strip. It is the freakiest thing in the whole wide world. Because when you're making your approach, and it's like, oh, wow, there's the Statue of Liberty. Oh, you fly right over Yankee Stadium. You see, and you just see New York, and you're just like, holy cow. Then you just make this turn, and you go kind of by Liberty Island, and then you come in, and you swear to God you're going to land in the ocean. And then all of a sudden, just at the last second, then there's the runway. I guess I hear different things about Aspen and things that people think you're going to run into a mountain, and then all of a sudden there's the...
Neither one sounds like fun to me, actually, Pete.
So try. I'll get you a ticket for LaGuardia. So I just saw that.
I actually saw something on that, too, and I'm sure I probably saw it from someplace similar. But in my thought process, to have something happen in more occurrences like that, something's got to be risen. One of the numbers has to be risen or something like that. But wouldn't less people be flying these days than 5-10 years ago?
I think we're – I don't know the
statistics. Are we to the point now where it's growing again?
I think – it's a good question, Mr. Luke Dennis. That's why we have you on the program. That's a good
– and so where is our stat guy? Where is our –
We're working on that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Also part of the reason why you're here, but that's okay. Not for you to do that. No, but although you do have the smartphone on you, you should be able to change. Wireless. But no, I don't know what draws them to it because I don't know. Because I know that there was time that they were trying to send out frequencies out there, mm-hmm. but it annoyed everyone else in the whole wide world, too, to kind of drive them out. And then you would have trucks that would drive out with horns or something like that that would try and drive them away. I think I remember some of that. And I don't know if there's something in the cycling of the engines, you know, frequencies that we can't hear that somehow draws them into them, or it's just a simple fact that we're going into something in which they occupy.
Is there any way we could, like, you know, maybe make this at least a better way to go and just have them when they get sucked into the turbines, they just get automatically chopped up and we have chicken nuggets on every flight?
Something to make it more useful.
That makes more sense to me.
Well, because, you know, if you ever get that Jack Ling juicer,
you
put that in there and then you got a viable product that comes out of it. So if you're making carrot juice, sure, you get the juice out one end and then out the back end, you get this stuff that you could still use to make carrot cake or something like that, sure, out of it too. So yeah, there's got to be something there you get.
We got to be able to use this for a few different things. That's a good one, yeah.
Hey, where did these chicken nuggets come from? Well, that was from Flight 1145.
There was only 40 people in the flight, so we had some leftovers.
here's another.
PETA people, please do not send any emails or get too angry.
But this is natural. This is a natural occurrence. This isn't like raising a herd of buffalo. Then
I just thought I'd throw that out there just in case. I'm not trying to build enemies here.
No, that's okay.
Other than with you.
That ship's already sailed. Oh, I got it right here. Where is it? Come on. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I don't know who this suits more. The Anatomy of a Brain Fart. Now, the article and the link is already on the Radio Affliction on this. On some of these, I'll put links on, too, for this show. But this one's already up there. And basically what it's talking about is that there's a process that's going on. This is an innate process then, that happens like 30 seconds before the actual event happens. So one of the things that they're talking about was the Milton Bradley incident. I guess it also happened to Larry Walker, too, where he caught a ball and thought there was three outs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, threw the ball in the crowd or something, or gave it to a fan or something like that. So,
sure.
Where it's something where you're...
Or somebody run into the wrong end zone.
That's happened once or twice now.
Yeah, I think it has, yeah.
That... And that might be different. That's where your peripheral vision is confused, and you're seeing it. This type of incident is... where they've done neurological studies to say that the brain has gotten essentially, for the lack of a better term, bored. So you're in right field, you hear the dun 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 dun, you know, the ball hasn't come to you all day. You got fans in it, so you're trying to tune them out, so and all of a sudden you get lackadaisical and you're out, and all of a sudden something happens, and then read the article.
So this is not like the Manny Ramirez throw the ball in the dirt type stuff. This is correct. Stuff where you just don't think about it because your mind's on other things.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that happens to everybody.
Right. So anytime you have a brain fart or something like that, it's not that you're stupid or anything like that. It's just that you have not stimulated your brain enough to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Does that explain a lot of things for you and things that have happened to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. We were doing a show, right? Oh, I apologize. Okay, all right. No, I was just reading a little bit more about the article, trying to get a better understanding of what you're talking about. Emerges up to 30 seconds before they happen. The latest research seems to indicate that brain farts are a unique type of cognitive mistake. Unlike errors caused by lack of information or
point being.
Experience or by distraction, brain farts are innate. They have predictable neural pattern that emerges up to 30 seconds before they happen. So... They're saying that you can predict a brain fart?
If
somebody had some electrodes hooked up to my head, they could predict a brain fart.
Yeah.
That's what they're telling me.
Yeah. The patterns would be there that they could...
If you guys want to put out a comment on this one, I believe that Peter and I should really do a study and get some of these pads and find out who has the bigger flatulence issue with the brain here.
That would be an interesting test.
It would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Because doesn't that answer the question, though, too? Because on something like that, have you ever looked at an outfielder or even a football player and say, you know what, he's going to fumble? You know, or he's going to screw up something like that. You can kind of sense a pattern to know when those happen. And then they happen. Once I read that article, that explained a lot to me. Not just for my own self, you know, hey, what was I doing at the time that I had the brain fart type of thing. But in noticing that, using that sports analogy to know that, you know what, that guy's just been sitting out in left field or something and not doing anything for the longest time.
I guess that's why they say he's been out in left field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know why I said left field on that. Jeez. I don't know. I just thought. I just thought that, being a pattern in there that you could kind of track, you know, and maybe you can even notice it in a type of situation.
I'm sure.
All right, you ready for more exciting news now?
Yes, sir.
Let's
I'm ready.
Let's get into it. We've kind of been getting to some of these things like steroids and some of these other things. Let's really get into the nitty gritty then of the news now. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready. Deep breath.
Yes.
Okay, ready.
How one odd duck says no to sex. When it comes to sex, some female ducks have taken no to a new level. They have evolved vaginas with clockwise spirals that keep out the opposing spiral penises of undesirable males. Scientists have discovered. Now, remember what I was talking about earlier about scientific studies?
I just have to say, at this exact moment, I had no clue that this show was going to go in this direction. And by any means, if I did know, I would have probably said I couldn't make it, other than the first half.
That's in the news.
That's in the news. Okay.
That some ducks
Now, I guess, does that mean that only odd ducks can't get in? Is that the whole point? Or even ducks are cool, but ducks are no good? I mean, I don't get how.
Again, these are just headlines that I didn't.
No, but in the headline, I think it might have explained it better, but I don't know if I caught it.
Right.
Do no ducks come through, or is it only for certain ducks?
I'm with you on that.
Oh, so it didn't. I thought it might have explained
better. Because it says they've taken no to another level. They have evolved vaginas with a clockwise spirals that keep out the opposing. So I think they don't want anything.
And why are we not spiraled? I mean, that sounds kind of cool. Why can't I have a spiral?
Aren't you, though, a little bit?
Oh, well, Peter.
No, I'm just saying. It's
the joy of the news Pete brings to the table. Okay, so what is topic two? What's the next thing you got for me, boss? Come on. What you got for me here? Because this is pretty classic.
This is better.
Okay, thank you, yes.
The 86-year-old governor of a southern Indian state resigned Saturday, a day after a television news channel broadcast a tape allegedly showing him in bed with three women.
I thought that was automatic. You must be running for president now.
Yeah. No, he's eligible to be president of South Africa now.
Oh, is that how that goes?
Yeah, because he has his fifth wife now.
Oh, one? Okay.
That's on the Radio Affliction. Thanks for checking it out.
Thanks, yeah, sure.
86-year-olds.
You know, you should never admit to your public that I missed something on Radio Affliction.
For people they're worried about the Milwaukee Mile, there's no IndyCars, no NASCAR. But hey, no fear, folks. We've got snowmobile races. Oh, yeah.
They call those machines, by the way, Peter.
Yeah, fans won't be able to see auto racing stars such as Danica Patrick or Carl Edwards at the Milwaukee Mile, but officials instead insist the historic track isn't dead. In fact, they're running snowmobile races this weekend.
Wonderful.
Have you ever seen the Milwaukee Mile?
Have I ever been there personally? No, but have I seen it?
It's at State Fair Park.
Sure.
There too, then. So it's way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 30s.
So when you were a kid?
Maybe. They had Packer games there.
Mm.
Years and years ago. And it looks relatively the same.
The exact same, probably.
So, yeah. So it's kind of a hard thing. Now, this is near and dear to our hearts here.
Okay, I'm listening.
AT&T to urge customers to take data traffic off wireless network. Have you heard about this?
No, not at all.
No, this is funny.
Let me hear this.
A senior AT&T executive dismissed speculation that the company is planning to change the way it prices data plans for its wireless customers, but said it will give customers incentives to limit the use of their wireless network for surfing the internet or data. Isn't that the whole idea?
What are you know? And in all honesty, I'll give you some up to date stuff that you might
Please,
not know a whole
me,
lot
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
in some weird way, I can actually see this. They're actually in all wireless carriers. You're starting to see this come down. At least any national carrier.
Right.
You take out your regional guys, obviously.
Sure.
They're getting to the point now where if you buy certain phones, you cannot even get that phone unless you pay a $30 a month internet charge. So what they're doing is they're making sure everybody signs up for this $30 internet charge and
then telling you not to use it.
Sally Sue might only use 3 megabytes a month, and Joe Blow is using it to, you know, I don't know, modem in, you know, 12 gigs of video every day.
Well, they're still not tethering yet, I don't think.
Well, that's what you can tether with that.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can tether with the $30 BlackBerry package. I think it's got the tethering included in it. And it all stems from the BlackBerrys of the world, because BlackBerry has their own server forth. So that's where
iPhone, though, too, is the big thing for AT&T, though.
Well, but the BlackBerry came way before the iPhone.
Sure.
BlackBerry, any
but I'm
BlackBerry.
Saying for AT&T, though, that's their bread and butter right now. And so the one thing on that would be, okay, at least with the iPhone, you have the option of Wi-Fi.
Correct.
So if I have the choice between 3G or Wi-Fi, I would rather have Wi-Fi.
There's a lot of current model phones that come with Wi-Fi now, too, as well.
Rather, okay.
Yeah, there's quite a few. And I think more than anything, it's they bit off more than they can chew. Most wireless carriers have done that. They've bit off more than they can chew because they're trying to get people to do all these things with their wireless phones, but then all of a sudden nobody's getting any minutes. Nobody's right. making phone calls on them. They are just basic little portable PDA internet files or internet engines. And that turns into...
If you're a real techie on that too, especially using Wi-Fi or something like that, you're not even using it as the phone for the phone. You're using then Skype or...
Yeah, exactly. Sort of a lot of the guys do that. Yeah, a lot of people do that. They'll use the VoIP over that, the voice over internet protocol or whatever. Is that the term for it?
Sure,
But yeah, I completely see this happening. I can see it being to a point where eventually you have your data phone and you can add minutes if you'd like. That's where I see it really heading to.
And it
probably is one of the better answers. I mean, most of the prepaid phones nowadays have a $10 a month or $20 a month package where there's no minutes included at all. All you do is text,
right?
You know, for your communication needs. So it should probably get to a point. Now, to be honest with you, I would think $30 should cover data use like that. I mean, well, otherwise, what's the point? Because I can get DSL at home for $25. You know, what is it really that cost? Is it really cost that much?
Apparently. It's a bandwidth hog for them, I guess. I would say take all the freaking money that you're not bonuses and maybe put in some freaking towers or something like that.
I know that with AT&T, their 3G network is very strong where it is, but I know it doesn't cover as much of the country as a lot of other companies' 3G network, which is primarily used for the data transfer.
I think we're seeing that in the map commercials right now.
Yeah, you see all that in the map. Yeah, I don't doubt it because Verizon or whatever and all these other companies. I think it's a Verizon commercial with that one actor on it. Overall... You know, some of these, the 3G technology that they're going to and they're using up, I almost don't doubt if a lot of that stuff is being paid to T-Mobile and other places like that to use it. And so that could be part of the problem why they're having a bigger issue than anybody else.
The other way around. T-Mobile doesn't have...
Oh, T-Mobile's bigger East Coast, I think, than AT&T.
Oh.
Nationwide, I think AT&T beats them up. But T-Mobile's really big on the East Coast. From the people, I got a brother-in-law who's from Manhattan, and everybody's T-Mobile there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Did I have another story on there? No, I didn't. I thought I had more stories than this. This was fun. I just like rambling off little headlines here. Or maybe I just thought more. How are you on the global warming issue?
Me?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, you denier or are you...
I didn't know you'd bring up something as... I really don't care.
Okay.
I don't believe any of it. I don't believe any of the talk. I'm sure there's some... There's something to it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we as human beings...
A denialist, that's what I was...
What's that?
That's the term that they give it when you
A denialist?
Yeah, when you don't believe everything that Al Gore spits out.
No, I don't believe anything on either side, to be honest with you. I'm sure there's things that are happening currently that are ruining certain parts of our world, and I'm sure there's things that can take care of... that can hurt our ozone layers or whatever, our air, but I don't think it's as bad as they say, and I think that it's not even the right angles they're hitting. I think it's... I don't really believe either
There's
side.
There's an agenda somewhere. I mean, obviously...
They both have one.
Yeah. With Al Gore, it was the whole cap and trade, if you haven't heard that or anything. That is just that to set all these businesses with a limit of what they can they can put out as far as CO2 or emissions of whatever. And so you're capped at that level. But what you can do then is you find another company that, let's say, I guess any company could have it, but says, okay, well, we're not emitting anything. So we're going to put it out on the market for you to take what ours is.
Should be emitting.
So that's what Al Gore's big thing is that's what he was trying to get at. But so and then also sell a bunch of books and movies and stuff and win awards. And
well didn't Al Gore, didn't he create the intranet?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So when it all comes down, and then when they say, okay, well, we're not going to call it global warming anymore because there hasn't been any warming in 10 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it climate change. I said, that's great. No, I don't deny that. Because guess what? That's been going on for billions of years, folks, you know, type of thing. So I look at it every time. When I go to Wisconsin Dells or something like that, I see the results of climate change, global warming. Because those were glaciers at one time.
Right.
And they're not there anymore.
They're not there no more.
Where's the human influence there? Yeah. Can we do better? Sure, let's do better. Mm-hmm. Let's do that type of thing. So that's it.
I mean, I agree with taking care of a lot of parts of our environment and all that kind of stuff and stopping things from happening. And I do understand that the average thickness of the ice in the Arctic is changing and things like that. But, is it really something
for billions
that...
billions of years.
Exactly. It's not going to change.
And it's gone, too.
Is it something that we're really going to be able to change or do anything about?
Yeah. Well, the other thing I have, if I look at it as a reasonable mind, how do I not then, okay, let's say we do things better, all right?
Okay.
Forget about carbon dioxide, right? We've curbed that because you can't eliminate it because we'd have to stop breathing then. So we're all, okay, let's say we've eliminated it. We're all breathing mass now, and so then we convert it into something else then.
Right.
We have now, in and of effect, then caused climate change, because then there was a lot of things that were still dependent on CO2 and in different things too. So there's no win in this situation to say to fight climate change without causing climate change in another area.
That's fair.
Yeah. I have two quick other stories then, and then we can just chit-chat for a little while, and then we can see where we're at in life. You've got a chick in your life.
Sure. I got a ring on my hand. I hopefully do.
So have you been pulled into like Broadway plays and different things like that? Did you ever get pulled into like Phantom of the Opera or anything like that?
To be honest with you...
You always had that Friday night date night, didn't you?
My wife actually is in plays, so we don't see a whole lot of them. She does some work at the Stoughton Village Players Club and things like that or whatever.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't get to see a lot of shows other than her shows, which I obviously enjoy.
That's cool.
So I have not seen Phantom of the Opera, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting. Check that out. There's a movie for that, too. Check out that.
When you asked me that, I definitely can say that I've seen the movie.
You did?
Yeah, well, sure. I just never seen the show.
Okay. Well, there's going to be a sequel. Well, is it a sequel, really? It's a continuation of the story, apparently. And instead of being in a Paris opera house, it's going to be on Coney Island in New York.
Okay.
So the Phantom is going to go all the way. I just thought that was interesting. Being really necessary and taking up funds and... producers, investors, and stuff like that. Because if producer people are willing doesn't to put pay. Their own money, yeah.
If people are willing to pay, you'd be amazed.
It's one of those things, too, because, you know, I mean, for every Empire Strikes Back, there's an Arthur 2. or what else was there a sequel with that was totally unnecessary?
Hot Shots Part 2.
No, that was okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like the first one? That should be the bigger question.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed the first one, actually. I'm trying to think. There's been a couple that came out for some of these that were like FX2. There was another one that was totally unnecessary.
I don't think I've seen FX1.
That was a cute movie.
Cute. You do understand that grown men are not supposed to use the word cute, right, Pete?
So obviously, so for every Godfather 2, there's so I don't know. It's one of these things that comes out 15 years later, type of thing. But you know. Interesting. Final story I have about our dear hometown here, Madison, Wisconsin.
Mad town, mad city.
Slips to number 75 on Sporting News' Best Sports Cities list. It dropped 14 spots in the news magazine's annual ranking of best sports cities in the United States and Canada. So you got to throw Canada into that mix, too.
Okay,
that
sure.
kind of. I got to tell you this. You take out the university, and this is a lousy sports town.
Correct.
So I want to know how many cities are involved. If we're number 75, you know, what's the tail off in that? How many? Because I would say we're 75th out of 79, if you had to ask me on that. Because if it's not university related.
But the UW is the University of Wisconsin, at least these days under Barry Alvarez, is really hitting top 25 in most of their sports. So it's hard to really argue with a school like that.
You got to credit Pat Richter on that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure, for sure.
Maybe even Chalela a little bit.
Sure. I mean, I can credit everybody down the row, but either way, as we look at it, football, basketball, you know, even into women's basketball has done pretty good. And in hockey, both hockey, men and women. I mean, women won two in a row, didn't they? Championships?
At one point, yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about that, these are all high-caliber, you know, athletic teams. Without even having a professional sports team in the city of Madison, that alone puts you on the map, and that alone gets you in the top 100.
Take everything else into consideration, like sports bars and, you know, sporting related activities type of thing, then we're okay. But
it's mostly alumni based.
Yeah.
A lot of it's downtown alumni based.
I actually like to think, you know, when I think of sports town, I can't think of anything better than Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago's a good sports town.
Just the sports there, but then how people react to the sports. How they get involved in the sports.
There's a reason why it made a big splash on Saturday Night Live with the bunch of Bears fans.
Yeah.
And I think if you guys are interested in seeing this here, our listeners and viewers, if you'd like this, I definitely highly recommend making a comment, because I think Pete and I and maybe a couple more individuals could probably do that entire skit for you guys if you guys are interested. I want to see Pete in a Bears jersey. I really do.
I don't think it's going to happen.
If you get enough comments here, if enough people ask for it, hey, you know, you are the listeners, you are the viewers. If you want
We're going to do a recreation, and there actually is Polish sausage available.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, possibly.
Some kielbasa.
Yeah,
Some kielbasa.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I have less issues with Chicago teams. It's the Minnesota teams that I have the biggest issues with. So I don't like any of them.
And Minnesota has a football team? Because I haven't really been paying attention.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be really interesting to get on the Minnesota kick here just for a second to see how this really plays out. Just not now, but maybe because of global warming. The Minnesota Twins are going to an outdoor stadium. And that's really going to be interesting. Because there was a reason why they built the dome in the first place. And just for construction reasons and cost reasons and stuff, they took out the retractable option. And you can't, apparently because of the design of this stadium. So this is going to be a greatly designed stadium in a relatively beautiful city 2 months out of the year. Maybe a little better than that. Maybe three. But, boy, if they remain in contention and this drives in the revenue that they want, that they can get ball players and stuff, that September and October could be kind of dicey. But then if there's global warming, then we don't have to worry about it.
Right. Correct. Yes. That is correct, sir.
So anyway, that's all I've got. Any other things? That's your news headlines for the Radio Affliction news headlines. Well, let me just quick. We've got a few minutes here left. There's, the one other elephant in the room as far as...
in the room. I like the sound of this.
Things like going on in the news, though, and I guess it's got to be talked about, I guess, because everyone else is talking about it. Why not us?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing at NBC, what the heck is going on? And there's something fishy about this that I don't understand. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, and maybe even Lucas, he's giving me that weird look right now.
Well, I've seen some things, but I want to hear what kind of information, because you seem to be a plethora.
Yes. I have a glimmer free of information on them. So in a bold move to cut costs, we talked about this actually in the last Radio Affliction because Jay Leno was retiring, quote unquote, at least from The Tonight Show. Conan O'Brien had already been pegged to succeed him, so he's going to be on The Tonight Show. But in a cost-cutting move, because when you really think about it, Fox in and of itself has never done more than 2 hours of programming a night. Other than Sunday, sorry, I take that back. They would start an hour earlier on Sundays, so they would. And I'm talking Central Time here, folks. I apologize, but that's my own time zone. So their prime time would be from 7 to 9 p.m. All the other networks then go from 7 to 10.
Because Fox has the news at 9.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, in our area, they do another Fox station could do whatever they want.
I thought all Fox did news at 9.
Most of them do.
Okay.
But that's because then they can jump ahead on.
Because people can watch that instead of watching their other stations. Right.
So.
If you find somebody's doing well at lunch, start cooking breakfast.
So the cost of the to produce these programs, we're getting to a point where NBC was in, they were losing ratings, they were losing money. Mm-hmm. So they found a way, instead of having an additional Law and Order. Because it would cost all the production costs and the cost of the staff and the actors and stuff like that. They would have Jay Leno then from 9 to 10, 5 days a week then. So you're just paying one person, one staff, for all instead of having all those other programming centers.
Sure.
Saving millions of dollars. Brilliant idea. Great. Never been done before. Worth a shot. Got if we're dying and we're going to die anyway, well, what the heck? So... What happened was, and this is what gets tricky about it, everyone else then is saying, I don't know why someone would do this, but everyone from CBS to Yahoo and all these are starting to put it out there that NBC is going to do this. CBS going out and saying, hey, we've been great ever since they did that. So I don't know why they're kicking a dead dog and why, because these things cycle around. Because there was nobody more popular than NBC during the 80s. Must-see TV, Proud as a Peacock, all that stuff, Cheers.
Did they do Friends and all that kind of
Friends,
stuff later on?
Cosby Show, Seinfeld, a reign that lasted a good 15 years, probably.
Sure. Fox was the alternative for the longest time on that.
They were an up-and-comer. They did things differently, and then they really stole the show then when they started getting football and doing different things then, too, then. So just an interesting. So for some reason or another then, NBC then buys into this hysteria then, and they see an out coming up with the Olympics coming up where they weren't going to have any programming other than that anyway. So apparently that they had kind of planted the seed that, we're going to go up to the Olympics, and then after that, we're going to do different programming type of thing. So this causes a whole wave of things that are going to say, okay, Jay Leno is essentially show is canceled. But what we want to do is kind of, he was successful before. We want to put him back in his own spot, but only for a half an hour. And then have the Tonight Show. And it's so it's throwing off all these egos and all these different things. And it's like, well, Conan says, I got in my contract to say I'm the host of the Tonight Show. And the Tonight Show starts at this time type of thing. And so it's and everyone's playing into it, including their shows. So I can't tell if this has been a ploy by the outside forces to screw NBC or if this is a play on NBC to show, hey, we're screwed. So any attention is attention. Mm-hmm. So everyone's talking about us. Yeah. So everyone wants to see the. Everyone watches NASCAR to watch the crash. So are they, now tuning into Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien because they're coming up and they're mouthing off on the air? They're saying, one of the things that Conan said the other day is like, I remember growing up watching Johnny Carson, and I said, one of these days I want to grow up and be the host of that show for 7 months. It's one of these just playing off of this and just taking jabs at the network and all that stuff and being allowed to do it. So there's something going on here that I don't know. So that's just really interesting. So
it's kind of like that same thing. I think though, there's somebody smart telling them what to do, and I'm pretty sure that it's like you said, the attention thing. It's kind of like when you're a safety or you're a cornerback and you're covering that wide out, and you give them just enough space to make it look like it's a clean.
There's an opening.
There's an opening there. Go ahead and throw it.
Yeah, try it. Yeah.
So it could be something very similar to that, where they're using it as a tactical advantage. And to be honest with you, you probably know my opinions on it. Let's go back to Arsenio. Just give me Arsenio, and I'll be okay. God. That's all I really care about.
Joan Rivers, while you're at it.
Yeah, why not? Let's add Joan. No, I never really was that big of a fan of those shows. I did love Johnny Carson, don't get me wrong, but any of the new stuff I really have never gotten into for those kind of shows. So, Saturday Night Live and that kind of stuff is really the answer.
Boy, that's one of those things, too. How much gas is left in that tank, too? It's one of those things where that kind of like this show is you pick up on things and you make sketches about it. So you would think that could go on indefinitely. And then you have a cast that you can plug in and plug out type of thing, too. So theoretically, it can kind of go on forever. But I just don't know if that's kind of run its course, too, on it. But it still seems to be there, too. And, every now and then I catch it and I get a chuckle. But
it's not like it used to be.
Do I, stay up that late? And
my problem is
sometimes with a hangover for a chuckle.
My problem with the Saturday Night Live bit these days, at least comparison to the old days, is nowadays it's all about how much you can offend somebody more than it is all about the comical.
Yeah, that's been
the Chevy Chase, Steve Martin.
But isn't that
slapstick.
Kind of a sign of the times too? Because isn't that the idea of Family Guy? Isn't that, or South Park too? Isn't that, this is like, how far can we push that line? And what I think was happening now.
But all of those things turn into a fad, Pete, where I think Saturday Night Live is not a fad. Saturday Night Live is truly a tradition, I think, in American television. So on that exact note, I don't think that kind of comedy really is the right spot for something like Saturday Night Live. It's a traditional thing. It's something that everybody's watched.
Well, because Saturday Night Live, admittedly, I think, was kind of taken off of Monty Python. Mm-hmm. What Monty Python did was they pushed the line as far as they could go. I don't know if they ever crossed it. They might have did in the movies because you could, because then you you had different things that you could do differently on there. So where I think, with your Howard Sterns and radios and your Family Guys and all this, is that they can't exist without that. They have to keep kind of pushing the rules so that they'll actually change the rules rather than us conform.
Sure.
Everyone else has to change around us, not us, type of thing. And in some way, in as far as creative, that's fair in one regard. But like I just said, you need, that's the only way that you can get entertainment out of it, or you find it funny, type of thing, is in order to do that cross line. And I think that's a waste. Whereas Monty Python could take things that. Well, the part of Saturday Night Live, what makes it funny is that these are things that are going on.
Right.
The president is doing stupid things, and and here we we're showing you it, and just in a different context then, too. And that's and I think the other thing that's always kind of bothered me on Saturday Night Live is that it's not taking advantage of the live format, and that is you just don't know what's going to happen type of thing. And it would always kind of annoy you if it did. It always bothered me that Jimmy Fallon would always, you know, kind of crack up every now and then. Mm-hmm. But I think there was one time where they took advantage of the light. One time that I can think of is they tried to do a newscast on mules or something like that. And sure enough, somewhere Jim Meadows was on one and he fell off his mule during the show. They had to keep going on or something like that. That's what live is
about.
Or if the mule took a dump or something like that, too.
Or when a special guest can't quite stop laughing. Have you seen that? I think it was Lindsay Lohan, I think, that did
it.
Was
that who it was?
Oh, she just wouldn't stop laughing in the show. Had no idea. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
But wonderful live Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah. Well, we've taken up enough of people's time. We're almost running out of recording space here. We've taken up a lot of time on Ustream here. I'm sorry, live stream. Oops. Sorry.
Wrong plug. We're working on a new marketing department, so just
not sure if a lot of people know or anything like that too. But a lot of the videos, like that are on videoaffliction.blogspot.com, are continuously playing 24/7 on livestream.com/radioaffliction, and you can see all the programs as if it was like a TV channel. So check that out, and don't forget to, if you need to be a little emotional, to look at the video. Don't leave me. It's a tearjerker. Anyway, Luke Dennis.
Yes, sir.
For your Virgin Edition here. Not bad. I appreciate you coming on.
If you guys like what you hear, dial 1-800-IDLE-3. IDLE-3. If you're looking
at like IDLE-3. Luke Dennis as the co-host.
IDLE-3.
That's a good one. Luke, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, sir. I had a wonderful
time here tonight. So comments at radioaffliction.com if you need anything else. Radioaffliction.com for anything that's going, because I have updates during the week and then different programming as well then too. So please check us out. So if you're lost in Wisconsin, I hope you're found soon. At least you know where you are. Don't take any wooden nickels. Use your $2 bills. And Pluto is a planet in Illinois. I'm Peter Clay for the Radio Affliction. We'll see you next time.